Well, boys, it's really, really good to welcome you back to this first Sunday Evensong since, oh my gosh, can you remember when it was? Some of you were here. It was March last year. And I want to say a special welcome. I'm not sure which camera to look at, so I'm going to look at this one. Well, I'll look at this one. And especially to those choristers who aren't with us yet and their families, you're watching at home. And we're really delighted that we're getting the choir school back together again. Now, you know, people have some very funny ideas about choristers. Did you know that? When I was a chorister, when I was your age, some of my friends thought I was mad. And all my friends who were choristers, they thought we were all mad that we should be going out playing football on Sundays and not singing. And on Friday and Thursday, we should be watching the television instead of practicing a choir practice. Well, people have some very funny ideas about priests too. When I meet somebody, you know how sometimes you're chatting with them and you're trying to get to know them, and you often ask that question, well, what do you do for a living? Well, whenever I say the words, well, actually, I'm an Episcopalian priest, quite a lot of people, you see their faces change. Maybe you see it when you say to people, actually, I go to a choir school, and they go, what? And when I say I'm a priest, I just know it when the person I'm talking to doesn't go to church. Because, you know, their face changes, and if I didn't have my mask on, I could do the faces. They'd do this very strange smile. And then I think to myself, oh, no. I know what's coming next. And it's like they're the one that's invented the joke. And you know what they always say? Oh, so you only work on Sundays, don't you? Ha, ha. They haven't got a clue about how clergy work during the week. Like lots of people don't have a clue about how much hard work choristers have to do to sing even one psalm. And do you know, those people also have a very funny view of God. They don't bother going to church at all. In fact, they don't say their prayers often. They don't even talk about God. They don't read their Bibles until something difficult happens. Maybe they lose their job, or maybe they have a tragedy, or maybe they get sick. And I've heard these people, and they say to God, why is it happening to me? And worse, I've heard people say, why did you do that to me? Forgetting that when everything was good, God was still with them. At the time of Jesus, there were people just like that, that had some very funny views about God. And the people who ought to know better, the Pharisees, they're the ones who really tried to live the life of faith properly, and the priests who did all this worship in the temple, and the scribes or the lawyers who studied the law, that is the Torah, they got so fixated about the rules that they saw in the Bible, so fixated about the rules, they forgot why the rules were there in the first place. And they had some very funny views about people, not just God. If something bad happened to you, let's say you got sick or had a bad illness, or tragedy struck your family, maybe your husband or your wife died, or maybe a child died, or you couldn't have children, they said, ah, you must have done something really bad. Or worse, they'd say, maybe your parents did something bad and God's taking it out on you. And that's the background to our story in our second lesson today. How many of you boys have been to Central Park? And how many of you have been to the Bethesda Fountain? Oh, Father Moretz has. You haven't been to Bethesda Fountain? Ms. Francisco, there's a trip waiting to happen because it's in this story today. If you go to the Bethesda Fountain, you will find this huge, beautiful, beautiful place, and in the middle of it is this great big fountain. It's a very good fountain, and when we used to be able to take the dogs off the leash, our Bertie used to jump in the fountain with all the other dogs. They're not meant to, but they used to splash around in it and used to get out quickly before the park police came. Anyway, I shouldn't say that on the live stream, should I? Above the fountain, you can have a look. There's a statue. And guess what the statue is of? A great big angel. Because it's the story of Bethesda Pool that fountain commemorates. There was a pool near the Sheep Gate, near the Temple Mount, and they believed that an angel came and stirred the water up. And when it was all bubbling like a jacuzzi, if you got yourself in it, it would fix you if you were feeling sick or something was wrong with you. And that's what you'll see in Central Park, a great big pool with an angel above it, and the water is pouring and, of course, bubbling around. Bethesda. But Jesus meets a poor man who can't walk. He's lying on, the King James Version says, his bed. It's a mat. You know, like the mats you take when you're going camping. Yeah, you know about these things. You roll them up, put them in your backpack, and then you spread them out, and you can lie on the floor for quite a while. Well, he's been lying there, guess how many years? Did you hear in the Bible story? 38 years. Can you imagine even 38 years yet? Leighton, I bet you can't imagine what 38 years is like. No. It's a very, very long time. And Jesus says to him, don't you want to get better? And the man says, but, you know, when the water gets stirred up, I can't walk. There's nobody to carry me down. I can't get into the water to get better. Because nobody will help him. Why? Because people like the priests and the scribes and the Pharisees have said, he must have done something bad, otherwise he wouldn't be like that, would he? Does Jesus walk away? Does Jesus see him as a bad person? No. Jesus says something very simple. Pick up your mat and walk. Go home. And in front of everyone's eyes, the man gets up. He can walk. He picks up or rolls up his mat and off he goes. A miracle. And immediately he meets the priests and the Pharisees and the scribes because they're near the temple. And guess what? Are they pleased? Oh, no, they're not. Why? Because he's breaking a rule. Is it a really important rule? Well, there are lots of rules in the Bible and some are more important than others. But they're so angry because he's carrying his mat. Can you imagine that? It's like a police officer coming up to you and saying, why are you carrying that skateboard? He says, well, I was told to carry my mat by the man who healed me. And they say, who healed you? And he said, well, Jesus of Nazareth healed me. And then they're angry with Jesus. They're angry with Jesus because he told him to break the rule on the Sabbath day and he's healed him on the Sabbath day. And that's working. You're not meant to work on the Sabbath day. Isn't it crazy, boys, that those who ought to know better couldn't see that God was in front of their very faces. They couldn't see Jesus was doing the work of God. And Jesus says, I know it's the Sabbath day, but my Father is working and so must I. And there are lots of people in our world today who don't recognize God even when he's staring them in the face. Because they have all these strange notions of him. Just like they have funny notions of what you do as choristers in a choir school and we as priests. And certainly organists. Oh my goodness, we won't even go there. Here's another way of putting it. An elephant was having a leisurely dip in a pool in the jungle. And suddenly his peaceful afternoon was shattered by the arrival of a very angry and noisy rat who insisted that the elephant get out of the pool. I insist that you get out of the pool immediately, he shouted at the elephant. Oh, but why? Said the elephant. I will not tell you until you get out of the pool, said the rat. Then I will not get out of the pool, said the elephant. Well, the rat went on and on. My goodness, was he persistent. And he nagged the rat and he went on and on. And eventually, the elephant gave up. And he lumbered out of the pool and he stood there towering over the little rat, dripping wet. Well, why did you want me to get out of the pool? He said. Said the rat.
I wanted to check if you were wearing my swimming trunks.
Think about it. Because the great Jesuit, Anthony de Mello, says, an elephant will sooner fit into the swimming trunks of a rat than God will fit into our notions of him. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.